Jenna, is there any place better than Target?
No. So let's talk about Target Circle. It's the same program you know and love now with automatic deals.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
So now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, with the unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Not me, that is for sure. So get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. I just used the coconut oil and vitamin E shower cream, and I seriously forgot I was in my own bathroom. It smelled like a spa. Plus, it's allergen-free, so it's gentle for your skin, and it worked in as little as 3 minutes, so no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasted days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me-time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And that's what you really missed with Jenna
and Kevin, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to And That's What You Really Missed podcast. Today, we have the one, the only, Darren Criss.
That's right, you heard.
There may have been a hiccup. We may have thought there wasn't going to be time, but he made it.
And you'll hear all about it. We won't keep you. This is a two-parter.
So enjoy. Buckle up.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
We love Darren.
Enjoy. This okay. is Darren Criss.
Hi, Darren. Welcome
Hi,
to
guys.
The show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
Do I even... was that your air horn?
Yeah, that was... It was bad. That's better.
Oh, that's a good one.
Do I... I didn't want to, but now that I'm sitting here, I'll admit that this is a redo that I got. I like don't like saying this because I don't like giving people the satisfaction of knowing my... the errors of my ways, but I might as well be upfront about it. This was supposed to happen last week, and it just slipped my mind.
That's okay. It happened.
It's not totally okay. Fine.
It is not okay. Because you don't, it makes me feel a little better about myself because I've always envied how you are able, I feel like you're everywhere. Like your energy level, like your battery level is so much higher than mine. I've never been able to comprehend how you do everything. And then last week, you didn't show up. And I was like, sometimes he fucks up.
He doesn't show up.
I really fucked up. I felt so, so bad.
It is the worst feeling.
I could hear it in your voice. Yeah. I could hear it in your voice.
It was mainly, and I call, like, I'm very big on calling. I tried to call both of you. And I know phone calls are kind of passing.
We were recording by the time you called me, so I was like,
man, yeah. So for the listeners, this is the reason why I'm okay with mentioning this is because I don't believe this happens very often. So if anything, it was a special occurrence.
Rare.
It was the last week, and this will be a segue perhaps into what we're talking about, but it was my last week of my run at Little Shop of Horrors, and there was this like deluge of people. Of people like reaching out to me, hey, is it your last week? Family, friends coming from all over the place, and there was it like the bottleneck was kind of like choking mm-hmm. me alive. Where like suddenly, I spend my entire day doing like schedule Tetris, ticket Tetris of mm-hmm. okay, so if you want to come this night, then you know, and coordinating Oof. With house management and doing that, all that stuff that is a pain in the ass, but I'm happy to do it because I want my friends and family to see it. Yeah. So I'm spending all day doing this, and it's been it's just a really, you know, bizarre way to sort of climax your way out of this kind of fun run. And there was this one Wednesday afternoon that it seemed to like subside, and I was like, okay, I think I sorted all my ticket stuff. And you know, Mia, my wife, was on the couch, and she's like, "Do you want to watch an episode of TV?" Sort of jokingly, being like, "You don't watch, right. we don't watch TV together because we never have time." And I was like, you know what? Yeah. And I look at my calendar going, I don't know how, but somehow there's nothing here. And it felt really strange. Something was like bubbling underneath that like reaction. And I literally just sat and watched a 30 minute episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, had myself a good laugh. And the entire time I'm watching it, I felt weird because I was like, I'm supposed to be doing something. This something isn't right with this. And as I told you, Jenna, I kind of live and die by my schedule. And for whatever reason, if anybody listening to this can relate to this, like if it's not on the grid on my little, you know, iPhone app, and I put everything in there from like yeah. from like lunches to like shows I'm seeing. I even put the addresses and stuff just because it's fun. I don't know what type of person that means I am, but I right down to the like last specific detail. It's always on my calendar, and I didn't see anything. So I was like, well, the calendar says this, nothing's going on. And that's when I got a text from the gentleman on my right that people can't see, Andrew, who I've known through Elvis Duran for years, saying, hey, are you coming? And can I read this text from you? This is at 3. This is so unnecessary, but I'm just, all right, this is right. Wednesday, March 27, which is a week ago. It's at 3:14 p.m., okay? And I was supposed to be there at 3. Hey, Darren, it's Andrew. Names with security. Text when you're here, and I'll meet you on the 6th floor lobby. And I write, ha, 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 ha. Text 1. Text 2. Man, that was sexy. Text 3. I got to know who this was supposed to go to.
No. Oh, my God.
LOL, it's Andrew and that's what you really, for that's what you missed, really missed podcast over at iHeart. And I wrote, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
And that's the response I got.
It is OMG. The worst feeling in the world. And
it is the so absolute worst.
We can all relate. It happened to me like 2 weeks prior to that for something else. And I just about like
panicked,
vomited, shit myself, peed, and cried.
As I wrote into your email, like I recognize, like if somebody forgets something, it's insulting because you go, oh, what? So your brain sort of deprioritized this? This wasn't important to you. Mm-hmm. Like that's the message you get when people forget things that you do. So that's mm-hmm. that's my biggest fear is like, no, right. I don't want people to feel like I don't prioritize right. them. And I want you guys to know how much I was looking forward to doing this. I had that day clear for however long that we
that's
decided
why
to do this.
That's why you felt that twinge of something's yeah. wrong.
Exactly.
The
so
horror that you were missing out.
And that's why it made it so bad because it was like the slingshot of like allowing myself to relax. Allowing the battery you're talking about, Kevin, to yeah. like be on low power mode.
Yeah.
No, I was allowing
you don't do
for,
low power mode. You don't do
I
it.
I can't. Yeah. It's my whole body reacted. So anyway,
I'm
here
glad
we are.
I'm glad at least the time was spent like with your wife, like in a moment that you don't get to spend with her, at
it
least
was a
it was
nice
well
moment.
Spent.
Yeah.
Do you
really
know what
was.
I mean? I
it
appreciate
was.
That. I actually don't hate it at all.
If you're going Thank to miss you. Anything for any, like, it's fine to miss.
Miss a
this.
Podcast.
Yeah, like, it's us.
Very nice
but
you.
You know us. Like, here we are again.
I know, thank God. I know, I literally, everybody yeah. on the email, like, everybody I could, like, I have some kind of relationship with that I could grovel extra hard without not knowing, you know. Anyway, so here we are.
We
That's
did.
What I really missed. That's what I really missed.
What we really missed was
last week.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I mean,
very excited to have you. Obviously, we did a little Christmas special.
Was yeah, but we didn't really get to talk about cliche.
No, we didn't.
We did it in kind of a promotional way, and I felt, I'm not going to lie, felt a little icky about it because I was excited to see you guys and do the, when I say icky, I don't mean to poo-poo the promotional wagon. You got to do it, and it's all part of the game, and it's fun.
Sure.
But I was like, let's podcast. Let's actually have a podcast.
Yes.
So here
let's
we
podcast.
Are. Let's podcast.
Let's podcast. What, I guess we just got to ask you because it's been so long, like, how did you get, what was your journey like getting onto the show?
Wow. Let's start at the beginning. A very good place to start.
Because what happens is we were...
What show's that from, Kevin?
The fuck if I know.
You know, we just... I sprung that on you too fast. It's from Sound of Music.
You give me a lot of benefit of the doubt, Darren.
But okay, because this is going to be... Everybody should know this is going to be a lot of sidetracks, and we've been trying to stay...
buckle up. This is how it is.
Buckle
okay,
up, baby.
That's my job.
Kevin, can I just side note and say how... I think I said this to you last time. I think I saw you in a theatrical setting. A theatrical, not the adjective in general, like literally a theater. I have been so all about seeing you be around more musical theater stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because it suits you.
Everybody says it.
I believe that. I think musical theater, Broadway music, is like jazz or Latin music or country music. There are these things that have, you know, wildly rich cultures and histories and influences and are huge industries. But if you did not grow up with it,
mm-hmm.
It's not even like you can't like inject it after the fact. So there are so many musical theater people that have the skill set and the wiring for it, but didn't necessarily grow up doing it, so they don't like consider it. In the way that there are people that do musical theater stuff that it would never even occur to them to like even try to be pop stars, because that was kind of like not a track.
Right.
Just like there are dancers in LA that could like, it's like when Britney went to New York and suddenly became like a great Broadway dancer, because she just was like, no, I'm like in LA, I do pop sort of stuff and I do tours. And then you go, well, actually, you have this skill set that serves itself really well to New York.
Totally.
But she didn't even know. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Right.
So having said all that, it's made me happy with the idea of you doing Broadway stuff. And I always, and listeners should know that I got Kevin to Marie's Crisis one night, as I tend to bring a lot of people when we're out in New York City. And you did Giants in the Sky.
I did. And the look on your face... was so satisfying.
That's all I want.
Jealous.
You were like, what? You're like, how do you know this? I'm like, it's the one I know. I don't know.
Okay, maybe my memory's flexible, so this is good that we can check each other on our versions of stuff.
Yeah.
Either that's where I found out that you knew how to do that, or I had vaguely, in my mind, I had known you had done it for something. Like you did an audition for something.
I had an audition.
Something.
Yep. I had
for something
that
else.
Weekend. Yes.
Okay, and because
for the Into the Woods movie. Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. So because of that, I think I had known, so I was hoping you were doing it there. Chicken and egg, I don't know which came
first.
And
you got me drunk enough where I was willing to do it in front of people.
That is
who
a
do
very
professionally.
Specific place, Kevin, to do a musical theater thing. That's huge.
What, Marie's Crisis?
Huge.
That's exactly where you do it. Other than an audition room for a movie musical.
He caught me at the right time. I was vulnerable enough. There were things going on.
Yeah.
I had just done this audition that I was so scared to do. And then I did it. And I was like, oh, I did it. And then it's Darren. Darren could like convince me to basically do anything. And so.
Really? Oh. Don't tell me that.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know, you and my sister and my manager, everyone's been trying to get me to do theater for a long time, so I won't let
everybody
them...
we know says that.
If I can convince you to do anything, you guys should do a little Shop of Horrors.
I mean,
that you
I'd
need
love
convincing.
To.
You guys would be so great. I would love to see that.
Oh, how was your run in Little Shop? But I guess we'll talk about Glee later.
We can go.
Tell me about it.
I've put a pin in that. Like I know that
we'll
gotta
come
go back to Glee.
Yeah. How was your run? That is your role too. Like that makes total 1,000%.
Yeah, God, there's so many things I have to say about that. And I'm trying to remember if there's anything else I wanted to give you. Oh, okay, I'm putting a pin in two things. I'll remember.
Okay.
One is how Glee started, and two, and maybe we'll bookend it with it, is I once sent an email to Ryan Murphy pitching a Sondheim episode, and it involved with an opening of Artie going through New York City and looking up at all the skyscrapers and singing Giants in the Sky.
Darren,
I just got chills.
I did too.
Yeah.
I just got chills. Why didn't we do a Sondheim episode?
We did. Jenna, we did. We fucking did.
What are
Even
you talking
I remember
about,
that.
Darren?
And I don't remember anything about that show, but I remember the time we did a Sondheim episode because I remember it was not at all anything like I had, you know, sort of glazed over with
we
an idea to
We did a Sondheim
Ryan.
Episode of Glee?
It wasn't explicitly like, this is a Sondheim episode. It's just that they were all Sondheim songs. Chris did I'm Still Here. We sang Nothing's Gonna Harm You. Chris got like beat up. There was like, it was a whole thing. Yeah, we did.
Your memory is,
dude. But I'm really, I still, if I could make this happen, you were singing Giants in the Sky. I wanted Naya to sing Ladies Who Lunch.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God. I mean, come on. Why didn't we do that?
Yeah,
brilliant.
I got to find the email. I had a whole thing where I like went through a ton of Sondheim songs of like who could sing what and why. And like Naya's entire, you know, Santana's whole sort of disposition, like this girl living in New York, kind of making fun of all the sort of upper crust ladies who lunch and sort of, you know, here's to the girls and having her have a martini while she's like,
That would have been
so. Those were
killer.
Two ideas I had. I got to think of what the other ones were, but they were really like deep Sondheim things.
What a great idea.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I'll have to find that one day. But you heard it here first. I don't think I've ever told that. I've never told anybody that I did that. But that it was probably from that trip where I was like, okay, here's what I would do if you had to do Sondheim. So back to Little Shop. It was amazing. I mean, it's such a great show. And, you know, if anybody listening knows. Yeah, it's just the ship flies itself. You know, it's not like you're sitting there going, does it work? Do people like it? It's like when you did Waitress. You're not sitting there going like, is there an audience for this? Like, people love it. It works.
Yes. Yeah. Totally.
And it's a track, right? So, you know, you're following someone's thing. It's not like you're teching and being like, all right, you know what? I think for this scene, I want to pick up this glass and walk over there. They're like, no, that's where the light goes. So stand fucking right there. I felt taken care of. Yeah. And also, Rachel Wood is like a thoroughbred horse. You know, she's like,
Are you kidding?
And you guys have been friends for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah. I asked her. I asked her to do this with me.
My gosh!
And I can't believe she said yes. It's really
Kevin.
It really
would you
fun.
Do Little Shop with me?
Of course I would.
You guys would have
so
much fun.
No, I'm asking you.
Yes, I'll do it with you.
You guys should absolutely do it. It'd be so fun. Like everybody
this
would have a great
pitch.
Time. We would have putting it out into the universe. Why not? Yeah. I would be your guys' dentist. I would love to do that.
Oh my god!
We should do that. Bring him in. Bring them in.
Do you feel a difference between, because you've done Broadway, Little Shop is technically off Broadway, right?
It's categorically off Broadway.
Yeah. Do you feel a difference in doing that? Like, are there
100%? It is the best version of doing theater. It's like really, really high functioning high school theater.
Because, I love it.
Because you have all of the sort of like professional level, like sort of spectacle of a show like Little Shop. In a small space, and a small space is the best space for that show. Famously, it didn't do. Dude, people say, "Oh, I love Broadway. I love Little Shop." Little Shop was only on Broadway once in 2003, and didn't run very long.
Right.
It didn't do great for a show that beloved. The bigness of it was sort of strange. I don't know why. I mean, who knows what else was the reason why it didn't sustain? But you know, when it succeeded originally, it was a small show like at the Orpheum Theater, which is where Stomp was for decades. And before that, it was at the WPA. So it's a small, weird thing. So keeping it in a small house is great. It's super intimate. You feel like, I don't know if you guys have seen the production, but like you're in the Little Shop. Oh my God, you guys got to go see it.
Yeah.
Corbin Blue's back in it with Jinx Monsoon.
Yeah,
they'll be
great. I heard Amber do Audrey too at Pasadena.
Yeah, at Pasadena. That was cool too.
That was a fun one.
But that was the biggest I'd ever seen Little Shop, and it had its own thing. There was a smallness to this that was so great, and you know, it's not a Broadway house where everyone has their own dressing room and it's very fancy. It's you're in the basement, and it's my dressing table and seat is right next to Bryce Pinkham, who's Oren, my dentist, and we're all next to each other like what you did in high school. And I mean, if that's not your thing, then I wouldn't recommend it. But if it is your thing and you like being
Absolutely
with people and being
thing.
Part of a company, like it's the fucking best. Yeah.
It's like, I love that. I miss that.
Do it. I think it's going to run for a very long time. I think that's true. Because it's got a great business model. I don't think it'd be able to run as long as it has if it was
a
Broadway.
Bigger house. Exactly. Yeah. The operating costs would be too high. Okay.
How did I get on Glee?
Why not? I'm sure we'll digress somewhere else.
Because we were in the middle of filming the show, and so, like, one day you just, from our perspective, one day you just, like, pop up.
And I mean,
like,
that's kind of
a
how
new
I've...
character. Who's this going to be? And then one day we meet you, like, oh, he's nice.
Yep. Thank you. That's probably the best version of that story I could probably ask for. This is why I think I have one of the such a wonderful relationship with the show that has that is just gilded with joy and happy-go-lucky energy. Everything about that show was a hit before I got there. So I didn't build it like you guys did. I didn't see it from the inside. It was a hit. It was on billboards. It was in magazines. Like, you guys were all over the place while I was in college. So I had this sort of like separate energy to it. So my entire tenure on the show was sort of like this bird's eye view of like, wow, look, I'm on Glee. It, like, if we got cast in Star Wars, we're not going around being like, we're Star Wars. It's like, no, Star Wars is way bigger than us.
Right, exactly.
Like, so that's how I felt about you guys. And also, all the songs were popular and fun before we did them. Seeing young people sing music, that was fun before we got there. I think I owe my time on that show to the popularity of Chris's character, which was very popular before I got there. So I just feel like I won this like lottery. So I always felt like, oh, like I never had this sense of like, you know, I've built this show. It's like I got this turnkey, like furnished apartment with all the amenities, and they're like, come hang out. Yeah, exactly. It's true. Truly.
Jenna, the weather is finally getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees.
Yes, it is, and I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. And luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices in premium fabrics and finishes. We love that.
I just got the silk skirt, and then I also got the 100% organic cotton striped sweater. It's great quality for that price. I literally shop here all the time now because it is just undeniable.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/really for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/really to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/really. Let's talk about something we can all relate to. Hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
and you were at you were in Michigan, right? Which is a very highly regarded school. What year were you in, and did you? I know that like a lot of people knew about Glee, especially in a school like that. So what did you know about Glee, and then also did you watch it? And what year were you in when you booked the show?
Oh, okay, because you probably don't know this story, and I'm only gonna usually if this was a conversation between all of us, I would try to talk less because I just am built that way. But because
this is
I realize,
about you,
yeah, no, yeah. I know I'm a guest on the show, so I will play the part of the guest. Okay, so here's the whole story. My junior year of college, my summer going into senior year. This is like the summer everyone kind of decides whether they're going to go to New York or Los Angeles, at least for like people in the acting department. And I should be very clear about something. University of Michigan has a very prestigious, shiny, like competitive, successful, all the adjectives, musical theater department. Mm-hmm. I had nothing to do with that department. People think I was, and I feel very flattered, but like I idolize those kids. I was in the bastard cousin department. I think they called it this, and they really got to change the name. I think it was called the straight theater department.
Stop.
Or just acting. Like, we didn't do musical theater. It was
dying.
Like black boxes, you know, rolling around the floor, screaming at the ceiling, smoking cigarettes, doing Chekhov. Like, that was my
wow.
thing. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But yeah, I hadn't. But you created Star Kid during that?
Yes. So this is all kind of tied with everything. Okay. So I liked musical theater in the way that like I like food and I like restaurants, but I had no desire to be a chef. Mm-hmm. Like I had no dreams or aspirations of like if you told me in college that I would be Seymour off Broadway, I'd say you're fucking high. Like that doesn't make any sense to me.
That's so surprising.
Like, yeah, truly. I'd be like maybe the dentist, but like definitely not anything, because I was around guys and girls that were, you know, I'm 18 years old, I go to this university and I see these student productions and my jaw is on the fucking floor.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, holy, like I've never heard anybody my age sing and perform and dance like this. Like I was so enamored with them and I had this like debilitating inferiority complex around them. And again, it wasn't like me saying at this time I don't do musical theater was no discounting of what I had to offer. It's just I never thought I would do it in the way that I was saying earlier about like unless you grew up doing it, like I grew up doing it, but at school and high school and it was kind of fun. But here's the thing, I was a musician and I like was I was in bands and I liked music and I had a really heavily huge musical education and background. So that's how I could understand and appreciate the musical stuff. But I also like studied acting most of my life in whatever you know, like heavier pedagogical like level than just a random drama class. Like I went to the Young Conservatory in San Francisco at ACT from like 10 till 18. Mm-hmm. And not to say that they made me a better or worse actor. I just had spent more time treating it like a thing. Like if I was a basketball player, like I've been doing it often for a long time.
Right.
And like really honing it and, you know, practicing as it were. So acting, music, church and state, didn't really cross over to my mind in my mind unless I was like playing in a band or something. Like I did like a James Taylor musical review my senior year of high school with my friends from the Young Conservatory, and in my mind even that wasn't musical theater because I'm playing folk songs.
Right.
This makes so much sense because like the amount of time you and I have spent talking about music and the way you explain musical theater to me is like you're translating
how musical
theater people talk about it for me.
Thank you.
Because like we connect on that music level.
Yes.
Interesting.
And you, I feel like it now makes sense to see how you've, like the intersection of that for you, how it's come out to me and how you just talk about it all.
Right. Because I think I come into it from a different angle and I didn't really get into, like even all my Sondheim shit and all like the stuff that like, you know, theater queens and like really theater buffs know about is stuff I kind of picked up in my 20s because I got really interested in it because I suddenly realized it had a more viable like existence within it, which I didn't see coming. So in college again, I think it's amazing. I'm hearing shows for the first time because I see Assassins or I see Company or I see Urinetown, all these student productions that were like free, like directed by my friends, starring my friends, that, you know, are to this day still some of the best versions of these shows I've ever seen that really like swept me away. So, you know, I'm doing a lot of like plays and stuff with like the theater, like student theater group called Basement Arts. I'm directing stuff. I'm just like so involved in the extracurricular theater making. I was like a horrible student, but I really liked, you know, playing in bands, like playing gigs and doing plays. That was all I fucking cared about doing and seeing as much as possible. So every year, this kind of ragtag group of friends that I had would do, and these were the not musical theater people, would do like silly versions of like whatever popular IP. I wasn't in this, but my freshman year, the guys who I'd eventually start Starkid with had a children's playbook version of The Hobbit. Okay. Mm. And the midnight show that they had was a performance of this, but of course they changed all the dialogue and it suddenly became about like the Keebler elves. And they scored it with Celine Dion songs.
Brilliant.
And everyone's drunk and high and having a good time laughing at their friends doing this dumb thing that it's just funny for us. You know, there's like,
I love it,
20 people in the audience and it's, no one's ever supposed to see this except us.
Right.
So they did this like every year to some degree. There was like we did a Goofy Movie musical. I wasn't there because I was
wow.
Yeah. Like there was a Lord of the Rings musical. There's a lot of things that happened at some point or another. So the senior year idea was to do like a Harry Potter thing. And the hair, and I remember Matt Lang, who I started it with, just put a poster of me photoshopped as Harry Potter in the Walgreens Center, which was our theater building, and it just said HP the Musical. Here's the dates, you know, with probably half a script and like no songs. And so everything that I wrote for that musically, I wrote half the songs. My friend AJ wrote the other half. Was just like the week of, and I played Harry more by just nature of. Yeah. Well, if I'm writing these songs, I'll just do them, and that was like my musical theater like debut in many ways. Even though I'd done it in high school, I hadn't really done it, and I did it professionally as a kid. I should say I did some like, but I was a kid. I didn't.
Yeah,
you just had to be kind of like, you know, an adorable kid singing the right notes, but not like I wasn't like Oliver. You know, I was in shows. Anyway, short story long, I'm. You know, the Harry Potter thing was like a fun thing that happened senior year, and it was mainly comprised of the non-musical theater people. There were two musical theater kids in it that were only in it because I think they showed up to our auditions and we were like, why are you here? You guys are MT kids. Like, they're the golden children. What are you doing slumming it with us weirdos?
They saw,
and I should mention, well, so the woman who played Bellatrix Lestrange is a girl by the name of Brittany Coleman, who has done several Broadway shows at this point. She's currently, if you guys are in LA and you go see the touring company of Company, she's Bobby and will be Bobby at the Pantages. So that's our Bellatrix. Amazing. But she was like the musical theater girl that like came to our side of the building and we're like, what are you doing here? So she's in it. And another guy by the name of Tyler Brunsman, who ends up playing Lucius Malfoy. And the second one, he's like a beautiful dancer. And so we ended up using their skills more. Okay, I'm getting too into it. So
The
Star Kid thing started from that. We happened to have filmed that musical because in our classrooms there we were, maybe I'm getting this wrong. In my mind, there was like a three camera setup that was done because we were doing like a multicam class.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about that. They also could have just been there explicitly to film it. Mm. Either way, there was, you know, one or two of the shows were captured. And so when we graduated, you know, and everyone's out in the real world doing their thing, that show was the fun game that, you know, the way that, like, you know, misty-eyed, like, footballers go, the big game in college. It was this big climactic moment of their young life. Like, even a couple months after college, we're all like, whatever. Like, didn't you guys film that? I would love to. Can we watch it? Who has it? Can you guys edit that? Because they did edit it together and they put it on like a DVD, and there was this one DVD that was getting passed around. And I'm sure I'm fucking up some of the details if my friends who remember it better. But I remember moving to Los Angeles. And this all ties back to that summer that I had right after junior year. So this is actually before the Potter thing. But the summer I had before senior year, you guys asked, sorry. it all connects, all right? I decided to visit those same friends that I had that I would eventually start StarKid with in Los Angeles.
Huh.
And I'd never really been. I'm from Northern California. I was always going to go to New York and play music and do theater. But I went to LA, and through a series of events that I probably should have spent more time talking about, but I've already wasted my time with the other stuff that I won't get into. Through a series of circumstances, I met, like, it was through a Michigan thing. I met some, like, agency people, casting director people, mm-hmm. that sent me on an audition for what would be the pilot of Glee.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the first time I met Robert mm-hmm. Ulrich, who was the casting director for it.
Huh.
This was when, if you guys remember, because I've now learned the lore since, they were kind of just like seeing everybody to kind of build something around. So that original pilot, I'll never forget, I was staying with my friend Michelle, who was graduating from UCLA at the time. And so I stayed in Brentwood, and I remember going to the library at UCLA and using her student card to print out like the 100 pages of the pilot. Mm-hmm. And like getting in trouble for like spending so much money on paper.
Oh my God.
And I remember taking this and going to those beautiful, like, they're like the Spanish Steps in the campus mm-hmm. of UCLA, mm-hmm. sitting there and like reading a pilot. I'd never read a pilot before. I'd never mm-hmm. gone, I'd never auditioned for a television show before. This was mm-hmm. wildly exciting. And the pitch to me was like, oh, it's like a music show from the Nip Tuck guy.
Mm-hmm.
To contextualize, at the time, American Idol is like white hot, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
They're like, okay, so it's like American Idol, but kind of like High School Musical. Those are two kind of huge properties mm-hmm. that they're mm-hmm. making this. So I'm reading this. I'm pretty sure Chris Colfer's character wasn't a character.
No.
Sue was like a male guy. And mm-hmm. just there are a lot of different characters and different names and stuff. So I just remember that. And I went in like a bunch of other like kids my age that had some kind of musical inclination for Finn. But not because I was going to be Finn, but because that just people would read and then they'd find something around you. Like I wouldn't cast me as the big, you know, football like quarterback guy. also remember at this time, like I have like my huge like fro and I'm like very charactery. All the parts that I would get at this point in my life were like the character guy. I was always like the goofy friend, like the pothead neighbor, like the hippie guy. And like that was my thing. I was like, I'm the weird character, quirky guy. So that I have to say, because that was one of my first Hollywood auditions, and I wouldn't join your show until maybe 2 years later, but technically
crazy.
Wow.
I booked my first audition ever.
Just a little delayed.
It was a dream deferred. So this happened
Darren.
when I auditioned for that show. When you first start auditioning, you at that age, you kind of take stock in like tracking what happens to it in a way that you learn to not do, because if you do that for every project, you drive yourself fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So, but in college, like, and I was going back to school. So like the Super Bowl's on and the show premieres and I go, you know, what's weird? I auditioned for the show. I got a television audition and I auditioned for this show. And then as it's taking off, I'm just like, damn, like, I can't believe like that was the show that I did when I went to LA. And there's other details that I'm missing that you'll have to wait for another time, but nothing that's too important for this. So having said all this, now that we've kind of gone back and forth in mm-hmm. time, so my senior year goes by and I've decided, you know what? I think I'm going to move to LA and I'm going to move with these friends of mine who I ended up doing a very Potter musical with, which it was called HP the Musical at the time. So I'm in LA. Now, like back on the audition thing, Glee is now like again white hot, and it's the first season. And because I'm in LA, it's like if you're a huge, I don't know, Italian guy from New York, you're probably gonna go out for a lot of like stereotypical mm-hmm. like mob kind of New York
Sobrano.
Guys.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So if you were a certain age and you played music, like singing or instrument, whatever, like you went out for Glee. So I think there's this idea that people go, wow, like you went out for it this many times before you cast it, as if there was this like sequence in like validity. Mm-hmm. It was more just like, no, you go out for NCIS, you go out for Law and Order a lot, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. then maybe you're right, maybe you're not. So I went out mm-hmm. for Finn, not because I was supposed to be Finn, because they were just seeing people and I wasn't right for it. And then I went out again for another part that I don't even remember, but I remember singing, I think, One Love by U2.
Did you pick that or they picked that?
No, that was they picked that. And then didn't get that, but I remember going out for that just like anything else.
Yeah.
And then
so weird.
By the time the second, oh my God, there's so many other side notes here.
This is fascinating, though.
There's so many. I have so many weird Glee connections. So, rewind a little bit before I even booked the show. Glee's big. I'm in LA now, auditioning for stuff. My first, like, SAG card issuing job, which was so exciting because I'm like a month out of college. This doesn't happen. Yes. I couldn't believe it. I booked a show on ABC called Eastwick, and I was a guest star recurring. I was Ashley Benson's like quirky little weird boyfriend.
Yes, and I remember because I watched that show because I
you guys were pals, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So this was so exciting for me, guys. Like that was I'll never forget. Just like that's its own saga. But just you know, out of college and feeling like wow, I'm in LA, like shooting a real live TV show and like getting paid for it. It was ecstasy. I couldn't believe it. And so, you know, I got to be on a few episodes of the show. You know, it's a good lesson and nothing is guaranteed and things are fleeting in all sort of matters of especially the arts, but television and film, television particularly. I got to do maybe a handful of episodes before it was canceled. But when it was on, I think our show was on it. I think our shows were on at the same time maybe.
I think maybe. Like, cross over.
Ashley and I used to talk
bit.
About it. Yeah.
Yeah. They would cross over for a little bit. That's right.
So you guys were like, oh, were you both on shows at the same time?
Was Glee on at 9 or 8? I don't remember.
I think 9 originally.
9.
Guys, remember when we used to like watch TV on a timetable? Remember that? That wasn't that long ago.
Tuesdays at 8.
It's been 84 years.
So Tuesdays at 8. Oh, you know what? So you guys were Tuesdays at 8, and we were Tuesdays at 9 on ABC.
Funny.
And I remember. Because when I was waiting to watch my like premiere episode or any episode that was on TV, people were like, can we like watch the end of Glee before that show? And I was like, sure, I don't really know much about it. But I remember the first time I ever watched Glee on TV, like with any kind of conscious, like, okay, I guess I'm watching the show, was the big episode where Kurt comes out to Bert.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Which is like now I realize it's a very sort of culturally important episode for the show and
and for your life
and for my life for my fucking life totally I remember seeing that and being like let's get to Eastwick right you know like so I booked the show and on it as this like character poofy hair guy and I knew about Glee I said what I wanted to say like I knew about your guys' show obviously because it was popular but now I was like also on TV with you guys and here's what happened I got a message from my agent saying, you know, they're having this like Glee thing for MySpace. You guys know where this is going?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And they said, you know, you should make a video entry for this because,
Glee
you know,
project.
They're casting. This is pre Glee project. Yeah, pre-Glee this is what's even project. Crazier. This was a MySpace like. I wouldn't call it a contest, competition.
It was like
search.
An open call, basically.
Audition open call.
Space, that eventually evolved into how they cast for a Glee project.
They're like, you should. And meantime, StarKid is like kind of taken off in its own way. Like it's, I was moonlighting as this like person online with this sort of Rocky Horror-esque fan base, but there was such a cognitive dissonance between the traction and marketability of that moment. To like the suits in charge, like they at this point in time, that check doesn't transfer yet. Like now that's all people pay attention to. But at the time, it was like this cute little web series. Like people like didn't know how like you know now people chase that. they want that kind of activation from fans, engagement I should say. So at the time it's happening, but it has no effect on like my non internet life. They are totally separate.
It was a different world.
So. It was a totally different world, different time. It was the Wild West. So, like YouTube then was what early TikTok was now. Mm-hmm. And so what TikTok was maybe like 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she goes, so between being on Eastwick, in my mind going like, well, I'm like a working actor on television with a SAG card. And having these people online knowing my music, I have Billboard charting cast albums that I've written. I'm like being hit up by like record labels. That's taking off on its own side. And she's like, you should make a thing for Glee. And I remember saying, I don't think that'd be fair because isn't this meant for people who don't have access to like Hollywood things? Like you want to find some kid in the room, like in the middle of Idaho.
Right.
I would feel guilty because people who know this Potter thing and people who know Eastwick, if they saw that I was going out for this, It'd be, you know, right. it'd be like
unfair
if
playing field.
Yeah, like this is an extreme example, but like if Justin Timberlake, I'm not comparing myself to Justin Timberlake, I'm making an absurd example for the sake of making a point, but like if Justin Timberlake auditioned for American Idol, it's like, no, we know this guy yeah. already. Mm-hmm. So again, bad example, but in my mind, it would be disrespectful for those mm-hmm. people optically. But I did totally. It anyway, because I said, fuck it, why not? And I thought maybe the people who are interested in the Potter thing might like give a leg up to... anything to get cast, right? Yeah. It's like I'm right. an actor.
No, totally.
So I made a thing and I sang on guitar. I did like Lean On Me or I forget. I think that was it. And it was like in my shitty room at the time and you see all my fucking dirty laundry in my bed like a fucking idiot. And yeah, and so I made that video. So cut to finally going in for Glee. Again, maybe the third time. After I booked that, I think people thought I got it from that MySpace video, which is not the case at all. I went in like any other audition where I was given sides and a key showbiz moment, which was, you know, the old adage, like change your name, cut your hair, get a yeah. job in yeah. showbiz. I did literally that. I didn't change my name. My name kind of got moved around by accident. So for my whole life, I've been Darren Everett Chris. My whole life, any playbill pre, you know, any show I've ever done, Darren Everett Chris is my full name.
I didn't know that.
I think because my friends in college knew me as Darren Chris, the stuff online for StarKid was built as Darren Chris.
Huh.
But any playbill, you know, in a certain point of my life, you would see the full name. I think Eastwick is actually, it's billed as Darren Everett Chris. And then for some, in my mind, because I was living in the echo chamber of, you know, being up my own ass,
yeah.
I thought, well,
we do.
If people I go any further, people know me as Darren Chris.
Yeah.
Like, I can't betray them, even though, like, you know, relatively speaking, this is very, like, not as big. So forever and ever, I then became just Darren Chris. But, like, Darren Everett Chris is, like, would have been the name forever. So Glee, Darren Chris, it's just there no more middle name. And I cut the hair off. I remember reading the audition. Eastwick has been canceled. I'm back to square one and have been for a while. I'm in the middle of writing my third StarKid show. I'm about to move to Chicago to work on it because I'm like, fuck this. Like, I'm doing more with this company and that's exciting and I have mm-hmm. more autonomy over that. Like, going on auditions is crazy. I can be a composer and a musical theater writer. Like, yeah. that's about yeah. my life now. So I decided to do this and I get the audition. I am blithely aware of the importance of this audition because mm-hmm. of... you know, everything, every little fucking fart that any of you guys did made entertainment news, you know? And the idea of a new character being Chris's love interest was
right.
being
huge.
Picked up. Like,
so
Mike
did you know
Osiello.
That going into it? Like, did you
yes,
know?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm the kind of guy that, like, any audition I get, I, like, stalk every person involved. I, like, learn everything about the casting director, mm-hmm. everything about the show. I try and learn mm-hmm. everything that I need to know to, like, maximize my chances of being involved in it. Mm-hmm. So, like, I remember Mike Osiello writing a piece about, you know, who this person is. Anyway, so the breakdown
wow.
said Tom Ford. And I look at myself in the mirror, and I have this big old fro. I'm like, well, like, that ain't it, kid. So I got, for the first time in a long time, like, a very high and tight, like, sort of, like, leading man cut.
Interesting.
And I wore a what I assumed to be like, and I read prep school. I was like, okay, I'm gonna wear like a prep school outfit to the audition, and I'm wow. not gonna be Mr. like friendly guy. Like, I'll try and be as debonair as I can. And I went in and did the scene, and I sang two songs. Those songs were, they said, a classic and a contemporary. So I sang a cappella. This is like super nerdy musical theater, not even musical theater, but like jazz standard shit. I sang Roger Earnhardt's "Where or When." And
wow.
Then, yeah. And then I sang Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Oh.
Smart.
That's a good one.
Smart, smart, smart.
That's a really good one.
And I don't know
happened?
If that's why they did a gender swap song for my first song. I don't know if that influenced
right.
it.
But what happened after that?
It was like I got a call like 2 days later and they're like,
and you just booked it.
You start. And I was like, whoa. I never met Ryan. I didn't go through the things you guys went through.
Did you have a callback or was it just one audition?
I have never heard. Like, I never did, like, I've heard all of your guys' stories, which was like, and then we met, and then we did a chemistry read, and then all this stuff. I went in for a room with Robert Ulrich and a video cassette, like, actually, video cassette, what am I fucking
yeah.
talking about? And a tape recorder. Yeah, and that was, I think I have it on my calendar. There's like a day, like, I have it marked in my calendar the day that I went in. It was like the day I got the haircut, the next day was the day I went in, and then like 3 or 4 days later, they called me that I had it, and then I started on like the following week.
That is wild.
Yeah, it was a fucking rocket ship. That's an understatement. It was like fucking like it wasn't even hyperdrive. It was like we went plaid to Spaceballs.
Especially because we were in the process of, we shot an episode and it aired 3 weeks later. So within a month, you go from semi-notoriety with your specific group of fans to then being on one of the biggest shows in the world, all around the world.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a lot of crossover.
And playing a very important character.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I don't know if it wasn't connected to the popularity of Chris's thing. I owe so much to that like narrative and people's interest in that narrative, because if I'd booked that other one where I sang One Love and I was some like football player, like who knows, like I don't think anybody would have like maybe noticed or been just like kind of leaning in a little bit, who knows if I would have been able to show or whatever it is that people wanted to keep me around for. But yeah, it was pretty you know, pretty quick. And I remember getting the part, and there's so many other things that you guys never had to go through. I did things so just, everything about your guys' experience is so wildly different than mine. Never had to test, never met Ryan Murphy until several days into my experience.
You recorded music differently too.
Yes, that's good. So you know exactly where this is going, Kev. Yeah. So you guys did your thing with Adam Enners. I've not met Adam Enners. Like, I wouldn't meet Adam for a while.
Yes, because I remember you guys, I remember when we heard Teenage Dream for the first, by the way, so we heard Teenage Dream for the first time in dance rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And we were all just flabbergasted. Like,
truly.
Because it had gotten to the point where we were like, oh, we miss when we did, like, Don't Stop was more similar.
Yeah.
And we really loved that. And we had gotten to sort of doing like straight covers.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, this is brilliant. That is so good. Like, we need to be doing that.
How did you hear this, and why did you hear? Why would you have heard it?
Zach had it.
Zach had it and brought it into dance rehearsal. And was like, here's
and
the new
he was working on it to work on the Warblers with you guys. And we were like, you play that right now.
Yeah, we were like, do it. We don't know if we're supposed to hear it, but we heard it.
Yeah.
Wow, what a cool moment.
Yeah, and we were all, we're like, oh, this is amazing.
So interesting.
We're like, who's singing it? We
just didn't know what was coming. Yeah, it was really cool.
Wow.
Let's talk about something we can all relate to. Hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Do you guys, I have it. I did like a anniversary concert of my time on Glee during the pandemic. I called it Decade because my initials are DEC, Darren and Chris, right?
Darren
and then Aid, AID, Decade, because I was trying to raise a ton of money. It was like right at the
like Live Aid, you know, you do the Decade.
Exactly. Yes. And it was a decade of like Blaine being on the show, and it was like still, you know, it was still the sunrise of pandemic. So everybody was at home, and I did this live stream thing, and we raised a ton of money for a lot of stuff. But I like unveiled a lot of stuff on this live stream that I'm sure got ripped and are out and about. People could probably find it, even though I really hope they didn't, because this is like so private and embarrassing. There is a tape of the Warblers rehearsal, and it is just it's horrifying. Because it like is a bunch of like, you know, these lugs of these guys, myself included, I'm not much of a dancer, like doing step touches like kind of heavily, and I look so fucking dumb. It's like totally antithetical to how it ended up looking.
Oh my god!
Thank God for camera magic. But we're just like, let's go all, and like we're really, it's bad. It's really, really bad. I'm sure when I say I'm already look forward to seeing the edited meme of this like on a third party situation on TikTok, where I'll see this exact video, your exact reactions intercut with the video that I'm talking about, because they ripped it from this concert I did. Have at it, internet. I remember that's where we, because we rehearsed that on the stage at Glee, but that wasn't until well after I had recorded it. So Jenna, when I got the job, like before shooting anything, I think within a couple days, and this was again wildly exciting, because I was like, holy shit, I booked Glee, like this, I like knew what that meant. Or at least you have your hopes, right? Like like Glee is huge, like I in my mind, to go back to keep calling back to shit, like I had just booked Star Wars, like I cannot believe it, like, and I'm gonna work with,
it's like gay, like, Star Wars.
Yes, that's it's gay Wars.
Yeah.
Oh man, that now, as a separate subreddit thread, all about gay Star Wars. Like
gay
I'm sure I want to see that.
Star Kid do that. I'll be in that.
And there's slight versions of that. We have a Star Wars show. I wouldn't call it explicitly gay Star Wars, but I'm curious what the community at large will do with that information. Anyway, so I booked this huge thing, right? Because I at this point I've seen you guys in the magazines and the things, and I don't even watch the show a lot. Like my then girlfriend, my now wife, like loved the show and like would watch it, and I'm kind of watching it in the background because I don't watch a lot of TV, you know. So but I'm aware, like it's one of those shows that you had to have lived under a rock not to be aware of, right? It was so culturally ubiquitous that I was totally aware of it. So
we were a tad
being a
saturated
part of that, yeah. But that was at a time where you could, like, think of how we're saturated now with shit.
Right.
It's democratized. Like we are kind of choosing what we're saturated with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Like there's a certain amount of like control that you have of your algorithm. Like all the shit that you're buying and all the shit that you
totally
subscribe to is an amalgam of decisions that you have kind of put out there that you're into X, Y, and Z. So your echo chamber is still tailored to you.
Yep.
Totally.
If you don't give a fuck about like teenage content, YA, music, whatever, like you could not avoid this shit. It was everywhere. So that's pretty extraordinary. So I knew that was on the horizon and I was very excited. And I loved the song. I remember going like, oh, sick. Like this is a great song that I get to sing. Like how fun. At this point in my life, my experience with recording music is like very amateur. Like I've recorded stuff with friends and, you know, but I probably spent more time you know, trying to record than maybe most people in my age, or maybe most people in your guys' position. Like, I don't know how many records you would have made. Like, oh, I guess, no, Kevin, you had your thing, and then Jenna, you had recorded Broadway stuff, so maybe I shouldn't say that. But not everybody. Like,
I mean, I think I came into that with the most recording experience.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Like, specific, in the studio experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I think, oh boy, I've had all this experience, when I really haven't in relativity. But regardless of that being true or not, they send me the demo of the song, and, you know, I'm aware of the collegiate a cappella tradition, because Michigan had their own thing, and like there's the Whiff and Poofs and the Dillos and all these people like from different Ivy League schools that have like a proud American history, and the Beelzebubs are from Tufts, and so I knew about them sort of, I guess, culturally. I can't say I was like super up to date in their thing, but I knew that they were the ones that had done this arrangement, and so I heard that and thought that was really neat. It's an all male group, and they flew me. It was like my first, like, I don't think SAG contracts do this anymore, but this was at a time where I think all the flights were supposed to be first class for like things with actors.
Yeah, they flew us first for the pilot, too.
Which is crazy. Yeah. I'd never like flown first class anywhere, and I remember, I booked a job, and they're like, you gotta go record. Like, this was the sexiest thing for like a 22-year-old, like, newly out of college to hear. Or maybe it's 23. But they're like, all right, here's the deal. You just booked the biggest show in the world. You gotta get on a plane to New York City like tomorrow to go record this record at Avatar Studios. I'm like, oh my fucking God. Like, Avatar is a storied studio. It's now Berklee College of Music now owns it and runs it. But like, I was going to Avatar, getting flown first class to New York. By the way, to also get to see like this girl I'm dating at the time who lives in New York. So it was like plus. Like, fucking, I'm coming in first class.
Yeah, we were having very recording studio.
Oh my God.
You went to New York to record?
I recorded several songs by being flown first class and put up to go record music and fly back to Los Angeles.
When he told me,
I was
like,
on that? What the fuck is going on? Who produced that?
The only reason why, so a guy by the name of Tommy Farragher, who was the producer of the Warblers album, and it was a totally separate experience. And I now know, you know, after everything that's happened, that it was definitely not the way things were done. Guys, I'm careful with me saying this. I think of Joey in Friends where he goes, I write some of my own dialogue, and like the writers like write them off. I get mad. So when I say I comped
the show's
own,
over.
Yeah, okay. So when I say I comped my vocals, I'm not saying that I was there like doing like on the board putting the things together, but I recorded that like you would record like, I should say, perhaps a more normal record, because when I say normal for people listening, you should know that we did these very quickly. There was a guide track that we had to follow, which wasn't because we couldn't do it ourselves. It was just for time management's sake. It was a very efficient, smart way to help us along, especially if you didn't know the song, you know? So, but it was built to move quickly for the sake of shooting, for the sake of the performers, for the sake of the people that had to edit it and send it to Sweden. That's a whole, I'm sure you guys have talked about that on the show. The music on the show was an extraordinary machine that needed to run quickly.
Yes.
Quicker than any record making machine should have to work in any fucking situation.
Around the clock,
so,
24 hours.
Around the clock. It's, I mean, that to me, they're really the unsung, pun intended, like heroes of Glee, the Anders brothers. And the gentleman in Sweden there, who was his name?
Pierre?
Oh my God, I gotta Pierre, yeah. Pierre. Pierre, not Pierre. Pierre, that's French.
Pierre.
So I would go out to New York to do this, and the first night it was like an all-nighter thing where we like kind of found it. I like kind of, there wasn't a guide track, so I'm kind of deciding what to do, how I want to do it, how I want to double it. I'm making suggestions. I've like written out what I want to do. I go, okay, well, I want to copy Katie. So like I was kind of in the driver's seat, and I'm not saying like, I made the record. Like, there was obviously a track, but in my mind, I'm like, oh, okay, so we're making a record. Like, and I was really, there's a lot of choices in there that were very deliberate from me. And I'm really, again, careful because I don't want to make it sound like whatever happened with that song is because of that. It was more because I didn't know what else the thing was. Like, I was just, hey,
it's
sing
so
this
different.
Song. Okay, so if I'm going to sing it, here's what
this
I would
do.
And I remember choosing different things and listening to the Katie record and trying to be as close to her as possible, but given the sort of parameters of an a cappella song and like being in there, and we're kind of putting the vocals together and we're like comping, deciding what we want to do, that maybe not that, and then we take a break, get some dinner, come back, and like we made that record. Like, I remember it very well, like, being, yeah. And I did that with, like, a lot of my first, like, five or six songs. I even didn't like a recording that I had and ended up recording, like, at home with a buddy, a redo of a vocal for one of the songs that would be on my album with my friend in his house, like, after the fact. Like, I would never do that
so
with
much
the Andrews
more
Brothers.
Creative, like, say and direction than any of us had.
Which that's I wouldn't argue is a good or bad thing. It was just by
the way it was.
Like, yeah. I'm sure if Adam heard that, he'd be like, well, that's why it sounds like, you know, like, I don't know. It's not a good or bad thing. It just was what
different.
It was.
Yeah.
And I would say there was also a great deal of freedom as there, like all things. Like, there was, you know, there was a great deal of freedom for me, at least, when you show up and do the, when we did stuff with the Anders, it was such a tight machine that, like, this is what we're doing is helpful when you're like, okay, good. I'm not going to.
Yeah,
totally.
It takes
do
time
anything.
To be creative.
It does, you need, like, we had an all-nighter. I remember, like, ordering Thai food at, like, 3 a.m. and being like, ugh, it's a good thing that I've already laid all the tracks down because this is going to make me tired and not sing as well. But we were just here to comp.
Yeah,
like I was doing production work, and again, so mainly done by the producer and his engineers. But you know, I'm back there, sort of like.
You have input. You're making
I had collaborative input, like, you know, what, so again, cool. Bad example, but Rick Rubening from the back room being like, what if we tried this? Can I try this?
Right.
Do you mind if I, not
so
because
cool.
I thought I had good ideas, but because it seemed like the space that was how we do stuff.
What is
wild,
though, is if somebody else got cast in that didn't have, you had experience creating things. And so you had been doing that and you'd been
very
successful
musical.
At it the couple years leading up to this. So if somebody else just got cast in it, and got flown to New York, and it had no prior recording experience, which is very likely, or creating experience.
Who knows what that would have been like?
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's where a producer comes in. Like, Tommy Farragher, who did all those records, like, probably would have been, I think he saw my sort of, like, willingness and interest in being a little more proactive and sort of, like, calibrated his dial, like, appropriately in the way that I did as well. Like, I saw space, so I said, okay, I'm going to try and, like, be in it as much as I can. But you're right. Like, if maybe somebody didn't have that, who knows what would have happened.
It would have just been different. But I think it's like...
It would have been very different.
It was such a asset, I think, probably for the show that you ended up getting that and getting put into that position to be able to sort of handle that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that I know now about how I function in a creative space that I'm grateful that I was able to bring that. That was like a welcome... space for it, because, you know, that it certainly made me more satisfied with what we were doing. And, you know, there's something to be said of, like, having a piece of yourself be in something,
right?
You like that can be maybe felt on the record a little more. I don't know if there's something more native to my singular whatever that is that got to be present in a way that that can only help, because even if it didn't take off, if people didn't catch on to it, I still would have walked away being like, cool, I did my
thing. You got to do your thing on this gigantic show and on a gigantic record. You're like,
right,
cool.
Exactly.
I got to, like, put my... Because we didn't... And you experienced that shortly after. Like, when you do go in with Adam to record, because we were so short on time, you, and for better or for worse, a lot of times probably better, like you said, we didn't have any sort of... There was one track that I... There was no guide for the ad-libs, and Adam was sick. And so they're like, just do what you want. And I was like, I don't. And I reverted to my 17-year-old self and just did boy band ad-libs. Like, I panicked.
Right. What song was that for?
It was What It Feels Like for a Girl.
And do you like how the record turned out? Did it sound like you?
It sounded like me, not Artie. And it was freaky because I was like, oh, this could have been like... an NLT song. Like,
right.
This could have been boy band. And I completely, because they take out any
one.
Of that. It's like going to the gym with a trainer where you don't have to think about it. Just tell me what to do.
Tell me what to do. And I'll, it's exactly what it is. And that has its restrictions and its freedoms. Because like, I don't want to say anything that sounds remotely uncomplimentary to Adam and Alex. First of all, they have to like protect people who probably don't have as much musical background, right? That need that direction. Yeah, and even for me, like when songs are outside of your wheelhouse,
most of what we did was not in our wheelhouse.
Yes, right. So if you don't naturally, like if I'm singing Whitney Houston, I can't sing like fucking Whitney Houston. Are you out of your fucking mind? So it's like if you have a thing that is like a a template for me to abide by. Like, thank God, you know.
And so they were brilliant because they would have the. Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's
but the demo singers also evolved to sort of match our styles. They were so good at it, where they would even do ad-libs like us and say certain pronunciations of words like us. It was really remarkable to like get a demo, and you wouldn't have to see the lyric sheet. You'd know who was who just off of how they were singing it.
There are definitely, and this is I'm careful saying this because, but I guess the podcast is what you really missed on Glee. There are definitely, especially if I wasn't like the key singer. Well, no, even if I was the key singer on something, where there were like licks or runs or stuff that were not in like my natural wheelhouse or ability. Mm-hmm. That like, and I know you guys know what I'm talking about, like where you'd be sent the demo and it's like Storm or some like,
oh my God,
huge like like motherfuckers with a capital
Storm.
Whoa,
was a beast. I would cuss my brains out in that. I'm like, are you kidding me? And he also sounded. These singers,
unreal.
By the way,
Have you guys talked about them? You should have them on the show. Like,
we should have them on.
The guide singers and the ecosystem of LA session singers, would blow your fucking mind.
They put every single person on the show to shame.
We had Tim on the show and Adam, and we talked about just a small.
But those session singers,
peek into it,
boy,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something we can all relate to, hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Like, Like Storm's voice, for example, was so, his tone was so cool that you'd get in there and you'd hear it and like, I just want to hear his version of this record. I don't
exactly
want to put my voice
exactly
on this.
Could they?
And
just
in case, in case you guys are clocking in something that we're being very casual about, yes, his name is Storm. All right, he's got a fucking X-Men's name, and he
it's
is
the coolest
a back.
Ever.
Yeah, he's a session singer for Glee. So I would hear a version of a song that we're gonna sing. Like you get a script and it says, okay, you're singing this song, and then they send you the demo version of it. Demo, pretty much fully produced, just with a vocal that isn't yours, and it's Storm mm-hmm. singing. It's like holy shit, like I can't do that. So I would go in and I would do my best to match what they did. At varying degrees of success, and there mm-hmm. are certain runs that I know I can't do. Like that's just not how my voice operates. Mm-hmm. That you would know you'd kind of get close to it, and then when I hear the final product, I go, well, you know, thanks Melodyne. Like oh. thank you.
My middle name was production. Melodyne by the end of that show. Are you kidding me? I would get those Luke yeah. Edgemont demos, and I'd be like,
oh, Luke Edgemont, Jesus Christ!
Not a chance in hell I'm going to be able to do that. I learned more things Luke. About my voice. And how to sing based off of never meeting this man for years and just hearing his voice on the demos. Yeah. And I eventually got his number and would just yell at him. He was like, you're a monster.
Like, dude, Luke was a warbler.
Yes. And like one yeah, of, if not right. one of, like the best singer I've ever heard.
Yeah, and he's an unbelievable singer. Yeah, a true singer.
I would get some of those, you know, the finished recordings, like, thank you, Alex. For yeah. finessing yeah. that, because I know I had a yeah. bad day. I did not sound yeah. like that when I recorded At Last with Amber, but yeah, yeah. thank you, mm. Glee Music Production Team, for making me sound like I can sing.
Always.
I joke about this, and I keep saying I have to be careful, but everybody has to be careful. I joke about how, you know, people go, oh, like, oh, it's so photoshopped or it's so auto-tuned, and I go, yeah, it's, thank God.
Yeah. Are you kidding
literally.
Me?
Literally.
I go, you don't want to see what I really look like. You don't want to hear what I really sound
no.
like.
And the amount of time we were recording that in too, it's like, sure, maybe if we had enough time to rehearse it, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't even yeah. know. But
you know,
we were going
in there
like 40 minutes and recording something.
I want to clear something up for listeners that I think for a long time, people have conflated the idea of what auto-tune is with lack of ability. Mm. And I want to clear this up for any like non-musicians or people
speak
who don't understand
it. Do
what
it.
That is. Okay. So auto-tune is a plugin, is a device you can use with audio that sort of like puts a grid to the note. So if you're in the key of C major and you are singing in C, if you are slightly off that grid, it'll, you know, match it to that sound, which depending on how heavy you have it on something, you'll either have that really fun T-Pain share like sound, or you'll have like something that just seems a little off. And there's varying ways to use it with taste. Nowadays, auto-tune to me, even when it's in session singing, is just like a preset. It's like mm-hmm. reverb or like mm. compression. It's just part of the sauce that people use to like record. Mm-hmm. Now, I have mixed feelings about this, because you could say, well, you need to have more purity of voice to get the tone, but depending on the style, like I'm actually okay with that sound, because it is what I compare auto-tune to teeth whitening. The problem, healthy teeth are off-white. They're mm-hmm. off-white. Like they mm-hmm. don't look as synthetic as we've now told ourselves healthy teeth are supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. So if you had a healthy ass mouth and you took a health and you gave a healthy ass beautiful smile on a red carpet where there are unhealthy amounts of lights, your teeth are going to look yeah. off, and you're going to be like, "Ugh, this person needs to whiten their teeth." And you're like, "Well, actually their teeth are fine. Mm-hmm. It's just that you're used right. to a different standard of what singing is supposed to sound yes. like now."
Right.
In the way that if you hear a singer sing with their natural voice, recorded in a certain way with a certain like amount of electronic recording and digital, you know, processing and production, you suddenly go, why do they sound off? It's because there's now an expectation of a certain sound. So having mm-hmm. said that, there auto-tune is used in all kinds of different ways where I think it's a stylistic choice. It's not right. a Band-Aid for people that cannot sing. Now, granted, this does exist
it can
for people.
Be, but usually
it can
it
be.
Not.
I remind everybody that I believe everybody on this show could sing. and had a great voice. Even the people that said they didn't sing, I loved Corey's voice. I loved when Corey sang.
Oh, I loved Corey's voice.
He had a sweetness to his voice, and there were like a lot of people.
And he just got better and better.
And he got better and better because we were doing it so fucking often that it just stood to reason. Mm-hmm. So we were all getting better. So everybody could sing. I don't think like there were some people that visited that aren't necessarily like capital S singers. I would say A+ singers, but like everybody could sing and sing well, right?
Totally. Mm-hmm.
So because of the style of the show and the style of the music that we were doing, it was important to create the music like it was already familiar to people's ears on the radio, which has this sort of auto-tune sound. So it's just sort of dressing correctly for the dress code of the party. It would sound incongruous if it didn't have that. So the last thing I'll say about the autotune thing is Melodyne, which Melodyne is a pitch correction software that can literally move sort of the waveform around to literally make things happen that like weren't there before.
It's a little more detailed than autotune. You can get in there note by note and draw
it in. So when you're talking about these really quick runs that happen in a fraction of a second that like maybe you didn't hit because you were sick or you can't sound like Storm,
right?
They would do those because
you got close enough.
You got close enough and it sounds fucking cool. So I'm careful because I don't want people to think, well, you know, they didn't really actually do it. I think the majority of what counts for those records is the character, the attitude, the character, like the characterization and the oomph and that sort of dynamic nuance that everybody brings to a performance. Like whether or not you could do this dumb fucking like acrobatic run is so superfluous compared to like, did you bring like the performative element, which is really what the job is of a vocal director and a producer, to get like the attitude and the feeling, which I think everybody gave in the room, you know, whether or not they got those dumb things that, you know, at the Melodyne. So I don't want anybody like thinking, oh, you know, just like auto-tune everything. Yeah. It's like, that's such a unfair assessment of the work of, you know, the music on the show. So anyway, I've always wanted to say that.
No,
so
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. Because, and the other thing is most producers, and especially Alex, who vocal produced us most of the time, he would make you do a take over and over and over and not have to rely on Melodyne. Like, you were going to get as close as physically possible.
Right.
And then if need be, he'll go in there and you know, finesse it. Smooth it out a little bit for you.
Because the energy was there.
Yes.
Right? Like, you can't, like, you can, but it'll sound like garbage. You can, there's a great Southern expression. I don't know if this is from a Texas one, Kevin, but making a silk purse out of a sow's ear. Like, you, if need be, you can, like, make something out of a bullshit thing, but it will sound so clearly wrong. Yes.
It'll sound like it's synthetic.
So if you have the energy and the intention of the thing, even if you're a fucking like hair off of precision, Melodyne is a useful tool to kind of just lock it in place, you know, just in a way that they can, it's, you know, a concealer or fucking, you know, like Photoshop in your, you know, shirts.
I think the teeth whitening is a good thing, is a good example, because our ears as a public are so trained to now hear perfect pitch in a way.
Right.
And the quality, like when you use autotune specifically and Melodyne, there's a certain quality. They have different qualities, but if you're used to hearing them, then you can pick it up. And I think the general public doesn't even know that they're used to hearing records a certain way now. And that is like extremely on pitch. And that is with this, whatever quality, mystical quality autotune has on
well
the vocal.
Okay, so do you guys remember the first time you saw yourself in the pilot or on any like film scenario? The film quality, like the visual experience of seeing yourself on film, I believe it's 35mm, I forget, but if before digital cards, when you see yourself in film, you're like, wow, I'm on like TV. Like the look of that film grain
totally
like immediately plugs you into the experience of a TV, a movie thing, an elevated captured video thing that is not a home video recorder.
Correct.
Wow, this looks professional. This is real now. In the same way that when people are recording themselves, a little bit of autotune and compression and reverb, they're like, wow, I sound like the radio out of the box. Which again, it can be good, it can be very bad. It depends how you harness it and where you use it. and you know, and what your natural ability is to sort of bypass that. But yeah, it's true. There's a thing about, like, when people are like writing, I don't know if you've ever been in writing sessions, Kevin, where like when you're kind of just top lining stuff, it's like you leave the autotune on just so you can kind of find it.
Oh, it's the best.
You know?
That's my favorite tool is like you put on a mic, you turn the autotune just like all the way up, and then you just throw out some random melodies because it will just get you there. Then you can hear it.
Yeah.
You don't leave it on when you're actually recording the record, but.
Of course. Yeah. And it would sound like weird, like in the way that people got used to hearing vocals with reverb on it, you know, like, right. like when that kind of started happening in the 60s and people would like record in.
People don't even know about
like
compression.
Chambers. Yeah, like that's a whole other like thing that like you don't know, but you feel.
Yes, so you would hear the difference. But
I think the point of this is that you know who doesn't need autotune or anything on their voice is Luke and Storm.
And Amber.
They just sound like that.
And Amber.
There's a great story about one of Adele's producers. Where, you know, she comes in, it's the first time they're working together, and at this point she's, you know, wildly successful musician and singer, and you know, when you get a singer in the booth, there's this kind of moment, it's like, let's just sing something down, let's get levels, right? That's like the baseline, like figuring it out, let's just get levels figured out, you know, can EQ stuff and kind of figure out what our sort of baseline console setup is going to be to receive these vocals and record them, whether it's with autotune or compression or any processing, any vocal stuff. You just do it as to figure out the singer. And the story goes, like, she just starts singing and the producer goes, oh yeah, that's just what you sound like. Like, there's nothing just comes out of you. That just comes out of you. Like, let's go. And that's, you know, when you're talking about some of the great singers of the world that just have this thing that is like, right. Wow, I'm just gonna record you.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah,
and capture. You know, it is my job to capture the magic that you just spew everywhere.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna organize it somewhere. That ain't me, is what I'm saying.
Same.
<Me either. laughs>
That's why you can go to an Adele concert and listen to an Adele album, and it sounds the same.
And it sounds the same because that's just what she fucking sounds like. Yeah, yeah.
That's her whole bag.
Well. There's more to come. There's a lot more Glee talk to come.
Much more Glee. So Darren and I get into the weeds about music. It happens.
You guys do that on. You used to do that on set too. You just like talk, I know. Talk music all the time.
He sends me music.
It's not a bad thing, but weekly. You guys are just the music guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. Okay. Well, stay tuned. Thanks for joining us. I hope you guys enjoyed part one of Darren. Stay tuned for part two. We'll be out soon.
And that's what you really missed. Thanks for listening and follow us on Instagram at And That's What You Really Miss Pod. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. See you next time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save.
UndercoverTourist.com.